I'm looking forward to this morning because you guys, all of us, we're in for a real rare treat. It's difficult for me to talk Trina into doing what she's going to do this morning. Not difficult, but it's just, you have to persuade. You know, sometimes you have to persuade people to do things. And so I tried to persuade her today, and she took the bait, and she's going to do this. But she has a word today, I wish every chair in the house was full. She has a word today that is so powerful and is going to absolutely revolutionize your life today. She's beautiful. She's smart. She's funny. She's a lot of fun to be around. She's even-tempered. She's emotionally balanced. And she's a true friend. She's the mother of three children. And she's the wife of one man for more than 30 years. That says a lot about her right there. Especially when you figure out who the man is. But she's the head administrator for four separate church-related ministries. She oversees the inner workings of ministry organizations in the USA and in other nations that have approximately 5,000 churches and associated ministries in them combined. There are untold hundreds of thousands of people related to these churches and ministries that she's directly responsible for. And she does all of this with little and, in most cases, no financial compensation. She definitely doesn't receive anything near what she is worth. It is a labor of love, and I can say that she is pretty much selfless. She can run every department in this church, and she can operate every piece of electronic equipment in this church. And many times she has to because someone can't be in their place for that particular event. She's a pastor's wife. What he feels, she feels. When people are nice, she feels it. When they're not, she feels it. I've watched her over the last 30 years, and as people have become friends and then drop off the scene. She knows what it feels like to be loved publicly one week and trashed privately the next. But she keeps going. She grieves with me as the pastor when one person doesn't show up or gets hurt or gets sick or leaves or dies. No one knows the private pain of dealing with people who say they're Christians but act like something else. But she has learned to take it to the Lord in prayer. Most of all, she's a woman of God, and she loves the Lord and practices what she believes. I can truthfully say that there is no other person in this church or that I even know of that I have as much confidence and trust in to bring the Word of God from this pulpit than my wife today. What she's going to say will change your life if you will allow God to do it. I'm going to ask every one of you to please stand and publicly welcome my beautiful wife and your minister for today, Pastor and First Lady of the House, Trina Freeman.
I was wondering for a minute who he was talking about. That was crazy. Happy Mother's Day. My mom is not here today because she's doing ministry with my dad. And they're over in the Ukraine. And she was a great example of a true woman of God. In fact, so much so that when I grew up, I wanted to be a church secretary and a preacher's wife. And dreams do come true, because that was my dream. In fact, I never even considered college. I didn't consider anything, and that's what I wanted to do. And God answered my prayer and my dream. And my three greatest accomplishments in this world are my three children, Amanda, Ashley, and Zachary. And Amanda is, since I have the microphone, I can brag. Y'all can't right now. Y'all can brag to me later. But Amanda is a massage therapist, and that's what she wanted to be from the time that she was a little girl. Her teachers would send notes home, and she would have little certificates, you know how they give, like in first and second grade, and she was the best neck rubber in the class. So that's what she wanted to be when she grew up, and I'm probably going to need her after this. But she, as she massages people, she has probably prayed over more people than I have ever prayed over, because as she's told us before, you know, as I am working and I massage, you know, I am praying in the Holy Ghost over these people, you know, and she's been working for Massage Envy for her whole career. I guess it's probably been 9 years maybe, or 10 or something like that. And she is always fully booked. And she has got repeat customers, and it's probably because of the presence of the Lord that flows through her hands as she works on people and gets the kinks and knots out of their back. My daughter Ashley is also doing exactly what she has said she wanted to do forever. And she's ministering as a teacher, and she gets to touch kids' lives on a daily basis. And I do know that she prays in her classroom, because we've been there and prayed with her before the school started. So she's also ministering in her way. And, of course, she's up here as well. And Amanda is back there ministering to your kids this morning. And my boy Zach he is pursuing his dream. And he is finishing college, doing what he loved to do. I have a little piece of paper from him when he was in kindergarten. It says, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And he wrote, "I want to be an MLB pitcher." And so that dream has not come true yet, but he has got an education on his arm. He has got a full education. He's graduating with a Bachelor of Business degree, and that's quite an accomplishment. His dream of being an MLB pitcher is not over, and I see potential in him, and God knows what his heart is, and God has a greater plan. If it's not that, then it'll be something even greater. So that's my three kids and my three greatest accomplishments. Being a mom is really hard, and I just want to know that I applaud you, because you're a blessing to your family. Anyway, this is going to probably be fast, because man, these are heavy. Today is a great day to celebrate moms, and I'm hoping today that what the Lord has given me will bring some freedom to your life, to everyone. As we go about life, we often wonder, why do we seem like we're carrying such a heavy load, and why we can't stand up straight? But as life happens, we realize that sometimes we pick up chains and wear them around, and today I want to try to help you get rid of some of the chains. The only way I know how to deal with chains in my life is through the Word of God. So the first two chains I want to address go hand in hand, and they are worry and anxiety. As human beings, it seems this is something that we do. We just feel it's part of our nature. In fact, I've heard people say, "God just made me this way, I'm a worrier." We had a pastor friend in Denton who told Paul, he said, "You know, I just worry and pray and worry and pray." And that's just really not the way to do it. But worrying is an act of our will, and so we have to really bring that under submission. In Matthew 6:25, Jesus says, these are the words in red, "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautiful as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, 'What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear?' These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." Proverbs 12:25 says, "Worry weighs a person down, an encouraging word cheers a person up." Ecclesiastes 11:10 says, "So refuse to worry and keep your body healthy." I've often heard Paul say, when someone is dealing with health issues, it's not what you're eating, it's what is eating you. What in your life is eating away at your health and sanity? The next chain that often attaches itself to worry is anxiety. And the Bible tells us in Philippians 4:6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God." I try to live like that. It's hard sometimes when life is crazy to forget the good things that we have. The third chain we pick up is doubt. Along with worry and anxiety comes doubt all the time. We begin to doubt ourselves, our ability to hear from God, our ability to have faith. In general, we just stop believing that anything good can happen to us, and we start to question everything and everyone. In Mark 9:14, there was a little boy that was sick. His dad actually came to the disciples. But here's the story. "And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them." When Jesus came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. "Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, 'What are you discussing with them?' Then one of the crowd answered and said, 'Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not.' He answered him and said, 'O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me.' Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, 'How long has this been happening to him?' And his dad said, 'From childhood. And often he has been thrown into both the fire and the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us.' Jesus said to him, 'If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes.' Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, 'Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief.'" The Message Bible says, "Lord, help me with my doubts." It's a valid prayer because, you know, as humans, we have a tendency to look on the outside of things and doubt. And so a valid prayer is, "Lord, help me with my unbelief. Help me with my doubts." Jesus cast the deaf spirit and mute spirit from the boy and healed him. Later on in Mark 11, when Jesus was walking by the fig tree, he was hungry and there was no fruit on it. So he just said, "Nobody's going to eat from you again." Well, on down in verse 11, the disciples was talking about it. They came back by the fig tree and they saw that it was dead. And here is the story there. It says, "Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away.' So Jesus answered him and said to him, 'Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. What have you asked the Lord for, but because of the chain of doubt around your neck, you haven't received it?" God wants to help you with your doubt or unbelief. He is a good, good Father, and he wants to give you what you ask for. The fourth chain is anger. Anger can be very subtle. The chain of anger can be around your neck, and you don't even remember picking it up. Here's a few verses about anger. Proverbs 29:11. "Fools vent their anger, but the wise quietly hold it back." Ecclesiastes 7:9, "Control your temper, for anger labels you a fool." Ephesians 4:26 and 27 and verse 31, this is something that we live by as a family and as a married couple. "And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're angry. For anger gives foothold to the devil." get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. If you have anger in your heart before you go to sleep, don't go to sleep. There are too many people who wake up dead. And if you're angry with them and they wake up dead, then you have no recourse. And then all of a sudden you're guilty. And then you have to figure that chain out. The fifth chain I want to talk to you about is fear. False evidence appearing real. God never intended us for us to be fearful. In fact, fear is a spirit. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline," or a well-disciplined mind. Psalms 118:6 says, "The Lord is for me, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me?" You don't have to be afraid of anybody. Proverbs 3:24 says, "You can go to bed without fear. You will lie down and sleep soundly." A whole lot can be said about fear, but I think you understand that we pick up the chain of fear and it weighs us down. Fear can cripple you. It can make you afraid to go out of your home. It can keep you from sleeping at night. But today the chain of fear is going to be loose from you if that's something that you have around your neck. The last and final chain that I want to talk about today is unforgiveness. This is a huge chain. In fact, it's one of the bigger ones I have on me today. It's heavy, and it can be the cause of physical illnesses that you may be experiencing, and it can be the reason you may not be getting any answers to prayer. Here's the deal. God sent his only son into the world that we might have forgiveness from our sins. It was the ultimate sacrifice. He was beaten, he was mocked and spit upon, he was punctured, and his blood flowed out of his body just so we could have forgiveness from our sins. So that we could have healing in our mind and body. He did all of that for us. Yet we sometimes cannot forgive someone who has done us wrong, either intentionally or sometimes unintentionally. We go through lives wondering why we are miserable and why we can't seem to get prayers answered. You may say, "Yeah, well, you don't know what I went through. You don't know what that person did to me and how it's affected my life." Well, I do. As a child, when I was about 7, I was sexually molested. But I remember a lot of things about that event. But when I do not get angry or sad. In fact, I feel quite victorious. Because many years ago, I chose that I was not going to let that define who I was as a person or who I am in Christ. And I forgave. And I forgave and I forgot. I dropped it. I dropped the chain. And I never, ever, ever picked it up again. That chains are starting to fall right now. This is why I know the word works. Because I can think about that person. I can think about the family. I can think about everything. And I do not have any ill feelings toward anybody, any situation, anything. So if somebody has done something wrong to you and you feel like you wish they were dead or you wish they would get sick or anybody associated with them, then you're still fighting with the chain of forgiveness, of unforgiveness. And you need to let that chain go. It's like drinking poison and hoping they die and you know, you're going to be fine. It's not going to happen that way. For those of you who know me, you know I'm an optimistic person. I hardly have ever experienced depression in my life. But I know it's a real issue for some folks, but I'm telling you, if you can drop the chains, you can be free of the weight of the past. Here's the scariest thing to me about unforgiveness, and I think this is probably what happened to me when I was a teenager, when I started reading the word and really applying it to my life. Matthew 6:14, the disciples asked Jesus, they said, "How do we pray?" And he went through, you know, the "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," all the way down to "Thine is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever, amen." And then the very next verse says this: "If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins." That is a scary verse to me. I want my sins forgiven. I want to live a forgiven life. So I do not want to hold anybody else accountable for me. Reggie, if y'all will come back up here. So how do I get these chains off? Well, the only way I know to do it is through the Word, because the Word of God washes us. By choosing the right thing and allowing God's Word to work, to listen to His voice through the Bible and praying in the name of Jesus, there is no other greater name than the name of Jesus. So at the name of Jesus, worry has to go. At the name of Jesus, anxiety has to go. At the name of Jesus, doubt has to go. Fear has to go. And sometimes we need help. Come here, Paul. Sometimes it's too hard to get some of these chains off by ourselves. But Matthew 18:19 says, "Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in Jesus." So unforgiveness has to go when we do it together.
Praise the Lord. Let's all stand this morning. In this room this morning, and you may have one or more or maybe all of these chains wrapped around your mind and your life. And I'm going to tell you, as heavy as this is physically, it's a million times heavier spiritually and emotionally. And if you don't get some relief from that, you're going to live your life bound up in such a way you're not going to be free on the inside. And this morning when they sing this again, if you want to do what my wife said and have somebody agree with you in prayer that the chains will fall down, I want you to make your way up here to the front and we're all going to pray together. And we're going to believe God that those chains are going to be broken off of you. And you're going to be able to go home free. And you're going to hear the chains falling. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's just say thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, you're going home from this place a different person today. And it's not... not temporary. I said, this is not a temporary thing. This is a permanent fix. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you received the ministry of your pastor's wife this morning, would you give God a big... Oh, go ahead and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory to God. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. There's victory in this place, but there's victory in your hearts today. Praise the Lord. Before we leave this morning, this coming Wednesday night, we'll have a great, wonderful service here. And also next Sunday morning, you don't want to miss. I also want to just tell you that here in the next few weeks, actually it's going to be on Father's Day, which is at the end of June, but I just want to put this bug in your mind now that Bob Sorge from the Kansas City IHOP, that's not the International House of Pancakes, it's the International House of Prayer, with Mike Bickle. He's going to be with us in service. You do not want to miss it. You've read his books. You've seen him on television. You know who he is. Powerful man of God. You tell everybody if they need healing, especially we're talking about fathers that day. But the word that he will bring will just, it will devastate. It will cut down to the quick. It will go in and do things that he's got a powerful, powerful message from God. And so I want you to be aware that that's where we're headed here in the next few week. So I just wanted to put that in your mind. But before we leave today, may the Lord cause His face to shine upon you. May the Lord give you grace. May the Lord give you blessings. May He prosper you in the way that you go. May He let His bountiful hand be upon your life. And may you be blessed when you go in and blessed when you go out. Blessed in the city, blessed in your home. Blessed in your job, blessed in your finances, blessed in your children, amen. Blessed in your family, blessed in every single way. That's who you are, and you're blessed. We want every mother this morning, we've got a gift for you out there. So before you leave, if you'll just receive that gift from us and let the Lord bless you, and God is going to do you good. We are officially dismissed this morning. Amen. You are dismissed.